tonight, as we're gathered around the Lord's table, I just wanted to share a few reflections from the Gospel of John, chapter 6. And I'm going to read a pretty lengthy portion from John chapter 6, but we're not going to have time to look at it in very much detail, but just want to draw some reflections from it that I think will help us meditate on the gospel of Jesus Christ tonight. John chapter 6, I'm going to begin in verse 25 and read through verse 59. And just for context, before I start reading, the first part of John chapter 6 is the account of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And so now they've come to the other side of the lake and they found Jesus having just been fed by the miraculous power of Jesus through the bread and the loaves. So verse 25 of John 6 says, "When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, 'Rabbi, when did you get here?' Jesus answered, 'Very truly, I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval.' Then they asked him, 'What must we do to do the works God requires?' Jesus answered, 'The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent.' So they asked him, 'What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat.' Jesus said to them, 'Very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.' 'Sir,' they said, 'always give us this bread.' Then Jesus declared, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day.' At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him because he said, 'I am the bread that came down from heaven.' They said, 'Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'? Stop grumbling among yourselves,' Jesus answered. 'No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world.' Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, 'How can this man give us his flesh to eat?' Jesus said to them, 'Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever.' He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum." Let's bow in prayer together. Our Father, we thank you that we can come before your word tonight, and we can gather around your word and your table, and we can seek to meditate on the meaning of John 6, as well as the meaning of the bread and the cup, and all that it means for us in our union with Jesus Christ, our Savior. So, Lord, bless this time of reflection on your word. May you be honored in it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was thinking about this passage and just kind of reading through it and drawing some reflections from it, one of the things that struck me right away in the beginning is that as human beings, our default position is to look for purpose and meaning for life in all the wrong places. Our default position as human beings is to look for purpose in life, to look for meaning in life, but to look for it in all the wrong places. I was thinking about that in light of these people who were looking for Jesus. They were going this way and that way, crossing the lake, traveling near and far to go where Jesus was. But why were they doing that? Jesus says, "You came and you found me, not because you believe in me, but because you got your bellies filled." In other words, they desired something more from Jesus. They desired something more from Jesus, and it had to do with their physical life, their physical sustenance. In fact, later on in the passage, Jesus says to them, "I'm the bread of life." And then they start talking about the manna in the wilderness. "Oh, Moses gave us manna. What will you give us?" So they're looking for all the wrong things. They're looking in all the wrong places. For these people, they're looking for food. They're looking for Jesus to meet their daily needs, just like God provided for the Israelites in the wilderness, day after day after day, giving them their daily bread. And that's what these people want too. They want their bellies filled. They want their daily needs met. And I was thinking about our world today and thinking about how no matter where you live, no matter what culture you're a part of, whether you're a part of American culture, whether you live in a tribe in Africa, whether you live in a jungle in the far east somewhere, no matter what culture you're a part of, it seems like our fundamental default position is to look for things of this world to satisfy us. And that's where we seek our meaning and our purpose in life. And so for these people, it was food. Some people live for food. Some people, that's all they want is to be fed and to have that feeling of fullness, of being satisfied, of tasting good food, of when's the next meal that we can eat. Some people live just for personal comforts. I want to be comfortable in this world. Some people live for just having their senses of their bodies energized, titillated through sex or through alcohol or through drugs. That's what they live for. They live for the next feeling. They live for the next high, the next buzz, the next rush of adrenaline. That's what they seek. They seek for that physical feeling. Some people live for material possessions. Some people live for wealth and status, how much they can acquire over and above other people around them. Some people live to show off their ability and their talent and to get really good at something and to show how good they are through their performance. And that's how they define their lives. Some people seek for fame and popularity, how many followers they have on Facebook or on Twitter. How many people know me? How many people have heard of my name? Some people, they're just living their life for ease and entertainment, just frittering away their lives on things that don't matter, on things that are just time wasters, because it's easier to do that than to engage in real life. And so they just withdraw from life and live their lives out in a virtual world of entertainment. People look for meaning and purpose in all of the wrong places. Jesus says to them, you need to not be looking for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life. And so that led me to another reflection on this passage, and that is that when we are confronted with the prospect of our souls and our soul's relationship to eternal life, we naturally think that we can merit our way there on the basis of our performance. So Jesus says, no, you got your eyes fixed on the wrong thing. You're looking for food. You're looking for comforts. You're looking for things in this world that will spoil and fade away. You need to put your eyes up and look on things that are eternal, on things that won't fade away. And so then they think, okay, you're right. That is incredibly important. I should be thinking about eternal things. I should be thinking about bigger things, the meaning of life and what's going to happen to me after I die and eternal life. Those are important things. So then they ask, okay, so what do we do? That's their immediate question. What do we do? What works do we do to merit eternal life? And what was Jesus' response? He says, here's the work. It's really not even a work. Believe. Believe on the one that the Father has sent. The one who is the bread of life. Believe. And isn't that amazing that when thinking about eternal things, when thinking about the next thing that happens after our lives, that the thing that their mind went to was, how do I earn it? How do I get there? What works does God require? And Jesus says, really, it's not about your effort. It's not about your performance. It's about trusting in me. It's about leaning on Jesus. And I think when we have this natural reaction, this natural instinct to think about what we can do to contribute to our eternal life, I think sometimes people come at it from the direction of, what's the minimum that I can do to inherit eternal life? So surely these are spiritual things, and God is a righteous God. And so he is going to evaluate my works based on what I do. And so, Jesus, what's the minimum that I can do to get eternal life? And they come at it from that perspective of, how can I still enjoy this world? How can I still live my life my own way? But how can I then do the minimum requirement to get into heaven? And Jesus says, no, you got it all backwards for one thing. It's not about what you can do. It's about faith. And then I think also, as some people approach it from, what's the minimum that I can do to get into eternal life? But then other people come at it from the perspective of pride and comparing themselves with other people. And it tends toward pride, and it tends toward prejudice over other people. And they look at themselves and they stack themselves up against other people and they think, surely I'm better than this person. Surely I'm better than this person. I've gone farther down the road than this person. I've lived my life better than this person. I've given more to charity than this person. I've helped more people than this person. And I've not done these things, X, Y, and Z, that this person has done. And Jesus says it's not about performance. It's about faith. It's about believing in me. And so then when confronted with belief in Jesus, here's the next reflection is, when confronted with belief in Jesus, the Messiah, our default position is skepticism and self-interest. Skepticism and self-interest. And so Jesus says, no, you've got it all wrong. It's not about works. It's not about performance. It's not about the minimum number of requirements that you need to do to get eternal life. It's about believing in me. What's their response? Well, do something then so we can believe in you, right? So their default position, when confronted with faith, when confronted with belief, their default reaction was, well, do something then so that we can believe in you. Prove it to me. Coming at it from the direction of skepticism, right? I'm skeptical, Jesus, so prove it to me. Show me something. Never mind the fact that he just fed 5,000 people with a few loaves and fish. But now they're asking for something more. They're asking for maybe similar to what Moses gave them in the wilderness. We want daily provision. Show us something more so that we can believe in you. And I think today in our world, when people are confronted with the gospel, confronted with belief in Jesus Christ, their initial reaction is, what will Jesus do to prove himself to me? What will Jesus do to prove himself to me? And if not that reaction, then they have the reaction of self-interest. And you can see that in them too. He says, they say, what will you do for us? So not only show us a sign so that we can believe in you, so prove it to me, but then they ask, what will you do for us? For our good, for our self-interest. And some people, when confronted with faith in Jesus, and this is the means of eternal life to God, and confronted with that, some people think, how will Jesus make my life better? In a completely self-interested way. How will Jesus make my life better? And if we're not careful, I've heard presentations of biblical truths to people and gospel presentations that I think are presented wrongly because they present that perspective of, if you'll come to Jesus, then this will be fixed in your life. And this problem in your life will go away. And this will take care of itself over here. And sometimes the gospel is presented in terms of, how will Jesus make my life better in the here and now? And they've still got their eyes on the wrong thing, don't they? And so when confronted with belief in Jesus, they come at it from a mindset of skepticism, or they come at it from a mindset of self-interest. What will Jesus do for me? And so Jesus continues to talk with them and continues to present himself to them. And that leads to the next reflection that I saw in this passage, is that is, when presented with Jesus, the Son of God, as the source and the meaning of all of life, he says, I am the bread of life. When presented with Jesus, the Son of God, as the source and meaning of all of life, our natural eyes cannot see it. Our natural eyes cannot see it. You see, in verse number 32, Jesus says, very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Shows they still don't understand, do they? They're still thinking in terms of physical bread that they can eat. Give us this bread. And Jesus says, no, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. In other words, I am what you are looking for. Not just for this life, but for all of eternity. If you want to have a meaning, a sense of fullness, a sense of purpose in your life, that you don't have to keep searching and looking for that thing, Jesus says, that's me. And if you come to me, you'll never hunger again. You'll never thirst again. Yes, your stomach will growl, but that's not what you'll be living your life for. You'll be living your life for something higher, something that your soul is satisfied with. But in verse 36, Jesus says, but as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. So he's presented himself to them. Here I am. I am the bread of life. I am the one sent down from the Father. And they said, what? I don't understand. We want some more of this bread that you gave us. This more of this bread that you're promising us. We want that. And as Jesus continues to talk with them, they say, who is this? Isn't this the son of Joseph? Isn't this the son of Mary? We know where he's from. How can he say he's from heaven? Their eyes are blind, aren't they? They're blind. So they're looking for meaning in all the wrong places. Then when confronted with eternal life, they think, okay, I can earn it. And Jesus says, no, it's not about earning. It's about belief. But then when confronted with belief, they reply with skepticism and with self-interest. And when Jesus comes back to them again with belief in me, the Son of God, the bread of life, blinders. They can't see it. They're blind. Their hearts are hard. Their ears are deaf. And so that's why it's only through divine grace that we can see and believe that Jesus is the bread of life, the Son of God. It's only through the grace of God. Jesus says in verse number 37, all those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me. So God the Father entrusts to the Son his sheep, his people. And Jesus comes and he presents himself to them and he calls them by name and they follow him and they hear his voice, John chapter 10. And Jesus lays down his life for them. He lays down his life for the sheep. And Jesus, in giving himself for them and drawing them to himself, he will not lose a single one, but will raise them up at the last day. How at the end of this passage in John chapter 6, a portion that I did not read from verse 60 to the end of the chapter in verse 71, we find out that there are many people who walk away from Jesus. After hearing this very hard presentation of the bread of life and he who eats on me will live forever, people walk away thinking, I don't get it. I don't understand. How can he say we need to feed on him? And they leave and they walk away. But there are some who stay, aren't there? There are some who stay. And Jesus turns to Peter and says, are you going to leave as well? Are you going to go away like these others have? And Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. That's divine grace. So in our natural condition, we can't see it. It goes over our heads. But Jesus opens eyes. He opens the eyes of the blind, not only physically, but spiritually. He heals the deaf, not only physically, but spiritually. He raises from the dead, not only physically, but spiritually. And we can see that he is the bread of life that he is presenting himself to be. And so this passage concludes with the idea that through faith in Jesus and only in him, through faith in Jesus and only in him, we come to know the source of all meaning and purpose and joy, and we come to know the giver of salvation and eternal life. Jesus is the one. He's the one. And throughout this passage, when he was talking about some of the difficult things to hear, such as he who feeds on me will never go hungry again, he is using physical language, but he's talking about spiritual truths, isn't he? And the spiritual truth that he is communicating is the idea of union with Christ. He in me and I in him. Through union with Christ, we have eternal life. Through union with Christ, we have salvation. Through union with Christ, we have not only eternal life, but we have meaning for this life in the here and now. Through union with Christ, through faith in him. What is the work that God requires? Belief in the bread of life who came down from heaven to give life to the world. And so tonight, as we gather around this table, as we partake of the bread, as we partake of the cup, let us remember our Savior who laid down his life for us, who gives himself to us, and that through faith in him, through union with him, we have divine grace. We have the grace of life, the grace of forgiveness of sins, the grace of salvation, And it's all of it through Jesus Christ. And in him, we can find the meaning, the purpose, the significance that our world is searching for, but is looking for it in all the wrong places. We know where to find it because Jesus has shown it to us. And so let's partake in faith tonight.